That's weird. That's weird. Kind of weary me out.
You are a sad, strange little man.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Isn't that weird?
That's weird, man.
It's strange.
What's up, campers? Welcome back to episode 192 of Camp Strange. I'm your camp counselor, Alex Tobin.
And I'm your other camp counselor, Dr. Earman.
And we're back to bring the spooky, wacky, weird, strange, and artifacts. Artifact. I was going to say artificial.
Yeah, that's not it.
Nope. Artifacts. But before we do, we got to catch up on any of the weird news you may have missed. And David, I got a real good story right here. I thought this was so funny.
Which means it's not going to be funny, right?
It's funny. It's going to be funny. So it says right here, kids left in tears and police called over shambolic Willy Wonka-inspired event. Did you hear about this?
No.
Oh, my God. Do me a favor. Google it, because I can't, like, me describing this will not do it justice. So there was this kind
of... Wait, what was it?
It's a Willy Wonka event in England.
Oh, I thought you said a vent, like ventilation.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Event.
No. Yes.
No, I did see this. This was horrific.
Not like Augustus Gloop stuck in vent.
And to be completely honest, I also thought you said, like, I thought you were talking about, like, the movie Free Willy. I was thinking of a whale.
Good God. Are you okay?
Man. Yeah. Last night was a rough one. We have a puppy. We got a puppy. He's a real bastard, and he woke me up at 1:58 a.m. He woke me up at like 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, and then 4:50, which is 10 minutes before my alarm to get up for work. Get up at 5. And I got to say, one of my biggest pet peeves is being awoken by something that's not my alarm within like 10 minutes of my alarm going off. Like if something wakes me up and I'm awake for like less than a minute and my alarm goes off, I'm furious.
Yeah, because you just lost that.
I lost
10
that.
Minutes.
That time's gone.
A lot of times I just wake up naturally about 5 minutes before my alarm. And I'm like, that's kind of weird.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. But if something wakes me up, or if I'm taking a nap and I get woken up like 2 minutes before my alarm goes off, oh, I'm pissed.
Damn. I'm You're pissed. Already full Fierce. Dad mode.
Yeah. Don't poke the bear. I'm mad.
You just put him in the vent with Free Willy and he should be
entertained. Put the dog in the vent?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a real bastard.
Let him run around in there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Starts acting up, turn on the heat. Sorry, I shouldn't joke about you murdering your dog in a vent.
But... No. He is a rescue, though. I am a hero. They found him in a cardboard box.
Got your purple
box.
Heart?
Yeah, I got my purple dog heart. He was found in a box.
I thought they don't give him they don't give you purple hearts. They give you red rockets.
Jesus Christ! Not yet. He is a humper. No red rockets yet. But boy, he's a humper. But yeah, no, they found him in California in a cardboard box with his siblings with a note that said that they were strays and their mom got hit by a car. So someone just dropped him off at, I don't know, firehouse. And they went to a high kill shelter. And then there was a lovely group here in Eugene named Wiggly Tails. And Wiggly Tails, they find dogs and puppies from high kill shelters, and they bring them up to Eugene to find homes so they don't get murdered.
I'm actually going to open up a high kill shelter for profit soon. Yeah. If you guys are interested in investing, we're taking in as many animals as we can get our hands.
So how are you making a profit off this? Are people paying you to take them, or are you... I'll just leave it at that. How are you making money?
If I tell you, I have to put you in my high kill shelter because it's
fair.
Kind of an untapped market right now. We can't really fully disclose, or like other people are going to start doing it. So I can't.
I can't really put a patent on it, you know?
I'm vehemently against killing animals. I love animals. I'd kill a human over an animal.
Yeah, most of the time.
I'd kill a human over like a spider.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time.
I'm a spider enthusiast. I like them. They eat the mosquitoes and shit. I love it.
Yeah, I feel bad killing a spider. You know,
as long as they're not like on me, they're good.
I read some fucking poem that made me sad, and it was like, if I was ever a spider, I hope somebody would like not kill me for just existing or something like that. And I was like, oh, like that's kind of. I mean, the way they put it, it was a nice poem that sounded way better than what I just fucking said, but
I'm sure
got the point across. Yeah. Anyway, but today we're talking not about guy kill shelters. This was just a way for you to shoehorn your fucking dog. What's your dog's name, dude?
His name is Holter, but I call him Asshole.
That's fair.
He's actually his father. He's just a puppy. Last night was actually the first night that he was being a pain in the ass. Most other nights he sleeps the entire night. So
terrible.
I guess
twos.
It was a full moon.
Yeah. And no, he's in his 2-year-old phase probably in dog years.
I don't know. Yeah, we're not entirely sure how old he is just because, again, found in a box.
Yeah. Box that was labeled Big Humpers. Please take
these big humpers.
Yeah, it kind of alarmed me. You're like, he's a big humper. And then you just had like a long silence for a moment. And it kind of, I don't know.
Oh, no, that was the internet.
Send Animal Protective Services out there. David's trying to crawl in a vent to get away from him.
I have not been humped yet, which is kind of funny that humps my wife a lot, a little bastard. And then he humps my baby girl Tilly, our other dog.
Dude.
But he hasn't gone after me yet.
You know what that makes you, right?
Alpha.
You're a cuck.
No, I'm the alpha.
No.
Dang, no.
You got cucked. You got tucked. What the fuck?
Under my own roof, too.
You're probably going to get him neutered with pleasure. You're like, ha, ha, ha,
immediately. I'm sure once that happens, it will end.
Yeah, you are insecure. Okay. So this Willy Wonka event. So in England, they're charging like £35 a ticket. And some people drove from like 2 hours away. In this Willy Wonka event, it was touted as a chocolate fantasy like never before, where dreams come to life, and
that's my favorite novel, Chocolate Fantasy.
But yeah, so you get there, it's like this giant warehouse that is the saddest looking, like I can't even put it into words. There's like a couple stands where it's like fake candy stands where it's like a giant lollipop. There's like a bounce house, but it looks so bad. I can't even, like, it looks like Firefest type shit.
Where they fucked up from what I saw was the venue was far too big.
Well, they could have done it in a smart way where they just brought everything much closer and like had it in a corner and then like, but they did not have enough. Like, even the stuff that they did do right, they didn't do it right. Like, sure, they have, like, a bounce house. They have, like, you know, but it's, like, I don't know. It just looks – okay, so the clip I saw that made me laugh really hard was literally this guy dressed like – that might have been him. The guy that's dressed like Wonka, he walks over and he's like, oh, like, here's the Wizard of Oz. And this man in a horrifying silver – mask, like one of those like fucking just like expressionless
emotionless
mask.
yeah
creeps out from behind a mirror wearing like a cape, like a cult hood, and he just like starts walking up to the children.
I forget what his name was. It was something weird though.
He like snakes out from behind the mirror and the kids go no, and they all start like crying I'm like, oh my god, like, did you think this was a good idea? But the people who put on the event apologized. They're like, yeah, we realized that like we did not have the facilities or like the proper, you know, wherewithal to put this on, but we tried to pull it off regardless because people bought tickets. We should have canceled in the morning, but they're going to refund everybody's ticket. But the kids were like,
as they should.
Kids were devastated.
Yeah, no, I did see some videos of that, and it looked horrific.
Like, I can't imagine just, like, putting the event on and standing there and being like, okay, like, can we trick people into pretending like this is something good? There's no way.
I saw a video that was the guy they hired to play Willy Wonka, and it was his, like, kind of open letter about the whole situation. And he was just like, look at me. Do you think I look like who should be playing Willy Wonka? Like, no, I look like an Oompa Loompa, not Willy Wonka. and he was like, they sent me the script like 2 days before and was like, you need to memorize all this. And he said it was like 15 pages of clearly AI written script.
Stop. You had to memorize. Stop. These people phoned it in and thought they were just going to get away with it, I guess.
Yeah, it's bad.
I think what they realized is like how many tickets they were selling and how much the overhead and all the expenses were. And they're like, if we make this look better, we are not turning a profit. We're actually going in debt. Like that's what it has to be, right?
Right in the red.
Yeah. Or they just didn't plan it well. And they're just like, oh, we could have. We had the money, but we just didn't put in effort. Maybe that's the other thing. But it was insane. I kind of love. There's a couple like influencers or like TikTokers that like put on events like this in the past, and they're like the exact same thing, like that you get like a grab bag and it has like a button and like a little Livestrong wristband and like two stickers, and you're just like, oh my god, like this, and that's like the VIP package and it's $150 and like I'm like, what, how did you of course we were gonna complain.
You saw what they were handing out to the kids, right?
No. Candy? I mean, they were handing, like, what?
You would think chocolate, because it's Willy Wonka. His whole thing was chocolate. Yeah. I guess they handed out to the kids a singular jelly bean.
No. No, no, no. That can't be true.
Yes. One singular jelly bean and, like, a promotional-sized lemonade from some place that's, like, sponsored it.
Lemonade,
yeah, and it's like one of those promotional ones, so it's like not even quarter like, of the size of
like
what
they
you
couldn't
would
get
actually
a they couldn't get a brand deal with like chocolate milk, like the chocolate river chocolate milk. Like there is no lemonade in that movie. They're like, this is Augustus Gloop's piss. Drink it.
Yeah,
that's why it's so sweet. He has diabetes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's just I mean. I love hate watching stuff, and that's not a hate watch. This is more of like a crash and burn watch.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, there's a reason why people watched both Firefest documentaries. Like we love to watch an ill prepared person go forward with the event.
Well, so I don't know if I've talked about it. I feel like I have on here that I'm a fan of the Daniel Tosh podcast.
Oh yeah.
And he just interviewed that guy.
No way. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good listen.
And it was pretty funny. The guy is like a total dweeb. It's hilarious. Bet. But he was saying like when he started to develop Firefest and started collecting money from these people.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy who put on the Willy Wonka event.
No, the guy that did the Firefest.
Oh, what's that guy's name? Billy McFarlane. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's saying that like when he started like the concept of it and collecting money from people, he was 23.
No way.
And it's like, and then Daniel Tosh said like, oh, that's very like who would give millions of dollars to a 23-year-old? Like,
It goes to show you how like
negligent.
Yeah. You also think that people in business are smart, but like what it really is, it's smoke and mirrors. All you have to do is be charismatic and like wear, if you have some money and you could dress nice and you like put on a good presentation, they might just give you money.
Yeah.
I watched this guy.
The whole episode, he was asking Daniel Tosh for money.
No, he wasn't.
It was hilarious. It's
guy's
a great
a grifter.
Podcast.
Guy's a grifter. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I just saw this thing really quick, little sidebar. I saw an Instagram video where this guy was like, I was trying to sell coconut water to like Coca-Cola back in the day. And I realized that one of like the CEOs of like, or the heads, one of the higher ups of Coca-Cola, like loved the Yankees. And he's like, I happen to know Alex Rodriguez. So I called Alex Rodriguez up.
I mean, who doesn't?
And I called him and I said, okay, I'm doing this meeting at Coca-Cola at 5. Do you want like do you want shares in this company if I sell it? And he's like, okay, sure. What do I have to do? And he's like, all you have to do is
come with me.
No, he goes, all you have to do is at 5 o'clock when the meeting starts, come up in the elevator, knock on the conference room window, and like, peek your head in. And I'm just going to go, A-Rod, I don't have time. I told you I'm doing a meeting. And he goes, okay, we'll talk later. And then he got back in the elevator and fucking left. And the guy, the Coca-Cola guy was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? And he's like, and they bought it. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. That's what it is. It's emotional manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
That's big every pitch. Move. That's every, you know, like meeting where you want something to buy somebody something.
Oh, yeah. You get anyway. A-Rod to show up.
Exactly. Yeah. Not everybody has A-Rod in their pocket, but.
He was there when I proposed to my wife because I knew she wouldn't say yes unless A-Rod was there. And it was all I did. I asked him. He walked up and I was like, A-Rod, I don't have time for this right now. I'm busy. He's like, I'm so sorry, man. Please call me back sometime. Like, yeah, get out of here.
And then he hit a home run.
Over the moon.
Over the moon. Only one to ever do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so do you have another story?
Former funeral home owner arrested after a corpse lay in a hearse for 2 years.
Stop. That's bad.
I mean, I'm pretty bad at like leaving, you know, like a can or like a sweatshirt in the back of my car. So like, I get it.
Do bodies explode when you leave them in the car for too long, like a can of Coke?
Oh, I would almost guarantee it.
They just explode. It was last pod when you mentioned that a couple was getting fined for just dumping bodies somewhere and then like putting cement mix into like a bag and sending it to them and being like, here's your loved one. That was you, right?
That might have been your other podcast.
Oh, sorry, I was fucking threw up thinking about doing another podcast. No, I actually just choked, but we did talk about something similar to that.
I don't know. I don't think it was last episode, but
it seems like it's a pretty common thing. This is part of my kill shelter thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a part of how I make my millions, but it seems like people are just like, oh, sure, just like give us the body. We'll like deal with it. And then,
yeah, give me the body.
They expect people not to follow up. And it's like, what? There's a lot of money in debt, though. There is. I mean, like, I should just sell headstones. Oh, yeah.
Big business.
We're running out of graves, man. We're gonna start burying people.
There's not enough holes in the ground for all these bodies, that's for sure.
Yeah, burn me up. Sprinkle me on your salad.
Throw me in the trash.
I want you to like take my ashes.
We've gone on this tangent so many times about what we want people to do with our corpses.
I want you to take my ashes and then I want you to like season a steak with them and then cook the steak. You don't have to eat the steak.
Should I have an unruly teen walk by and say, what did you drop in dirt so I can tell them to grow up?
You can't reference that meme. Not a lot of people know that fucking meme.
Still good.
It is still good. That's a brisket. Yeah. Put my ashes on a brisket.
Feed you to a bunch of hogs.
Anyway. but yeah, that's fucking horrifying to leave a body in a car for 2 years. What?
Damn, the dude was only 33.
What, the dead guy?
Yeah.
No, he was 35. Because the guy left in a car for 2 years.
The funeral home the guy who owned the funeral home was 33.
So
that's young to own a funeral home.
So stop giving people underage for the expectation of what that job's age should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if
you're... Am I crazy here? Like, well, I'm 33. I feel like I'm too young to own an entire funeral home.
It could be like a small town thing or like a family business or something like that. But at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't want to be an old person running a funeral home. That's just too real. I need to be
close for comfort.
Yeah, I need to be like, I'm like 40, 50 years away from like being in this coffin. Not like any day now.
Yeah, just taking away... You think they, like, old people that have funeral homes, do you think they have, like, one set aside for themselves? Like, yeah, that's my That's my Cadillac to heaven.
Oh, yeah. They definitely do. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got another story here, but this one was kind of, I'm late to the game on this one, but I just don't understand it. It says nearly 1 in 5 Americans believe Taylor Swift Biden conspiracy poll finds.
Oh, God, this one.
I just don't understand what the conspiracy is. So they think that Joe Biden rigged the Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't know why. Like, what's the...
So the idea is the fact that Taylor Swift is a supporter, Democrat, supports Joe Biden over Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And so people think since Joe Biden is in power and he's up for re-election this year, that he's using her as a puppet to push people to think that winners are Joe Biden fans.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's like many of these conspiracy theories, it doesn't make much sense.
The logic isn't really there because they're playing San Francisco, which is like one of the most liberal cities. So like you would think Kansas City is not liberal. I mean, it might be a little
bit. I don't think so.
No. No, all they do is take their barbecue and drop it in dirt. but I just it makes that meme make more sense now. Like after Kansas City won, like he posted that Dark Brandon meme and he was just like,
oh, so good.
Played
all
out
part
like
of the plan or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Like just how we drew it up or something.
Hilarious. I know he didn't make that or even probably okay it, but still funny.
Yeah, it's so good. There's no way he's posting anything anywhere.
Big Dog can barely make it on an airplane. He's not posting anything on Instagram.
Exactly. There's also like a... I don't want to get into that. That's actually kind of dark. Do you hear about that?
What, his service dog?
No. Not the service dog.
He's biting his Secret Service agents?
Yeah, not that. No, you hear about the whole P. Diddy thing? I think P. Diddy is about to go under. That's
wild. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's been rumblings of him being... a wacko for a long time, and it's gonna be like an Epstein part 2,
yeah,
but just for like the rap world, and it's gonna be interesting what happens.
And not that this is literally indicative of crimes or anything like this, but it was something that was new to me. They're basically saying that like they're like, oh yeah, he was like grooming like young men, so like apparently P. Diddy's gay. I didn't know that either. And
yeah, bisexual.
True. But he's been doing some like they say, like Usher and Justin Bieber and like all like French Montana and like all these people.
Meek
that,
Mill.
Like,
oh my God,
oh,
French
Meek
Montana.
Mill.
We gotta talk about French
Chris
Montana's
Brown.
Latest antics.
Mac and Cheese times 5. His new album. That's the real name of his album. Mac and Cheese times 5.
No, I think the real name of the album is Mac and Cheese Part 2 times 5. Well, I mean, the times 5 is not in the name of the
Oh, it's just
album.
Because... Well, explain this, David.
Okay. So...
why is it times 5?
There is a rap artist named French Montana who is god-awful.
And he's signed to Puff Daddy, P. Diddy.
Is he okay?
I think he is. Bad Boy.
Oh, no. Okay, I guess the album is called Mac and Cheese 5, out now, time to eat. So, Jesus Christ. So, yes, he is terrible. Just a terrible artist. He must be a really cool dude because he has good connections. He is, like, featured on a lot of people's albums.
I listened to part of the album, by the way, and it's not, like, the worst thing I've ever heard. But it's just...
No, but there's
it's
nothing
very,
special about him.
Everything's mid about it. Exactly. Like, he's a
very
mid artist.
Bland. Yes.
Yeah.
He came out with a new album. And for whatever reason, he had decided that the album is 21 songs long. And so he released 5 versions of the album, which is the regular album, the acapella album. What the hell's going on with the video chat?
That was nuts. What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that?
I'm counting with my hand on the video chat. And it saw me do a thumbs up because I'm doing like 1, 2, 3. And it's doing like, it's throwing the thumbs ups. What?
It's doing like
okay.
That was fucking weird, man.
So he, okay, back on topic. Okay. He released five versions of the album, which is the regular one, the a cappella one, the instrumental one, the sped up version, which is probably the best one to listen to if you had to listen to it, and the slowed down version. But not only did he release five different versions of this album, every single track on the album was individually released as a single.
Wait, what?
Yes. So if you go to like his discography on Apple Music or Spotify, like my favorite is probably the instrumental track of Skit, which I'm looking at right now. It's a minute and 27 seconds. It's been played 3,419 times. And the entire track is just the sound of like a subway. Because it's the instrumental version of a skit. And so the skit, the conversation is not even there.
Oh my God.
This
is so, just a way for him to boost his numbers, right? To make it look like he's, it's like, oh, look.
I mean, we're
like,
it's free publicity because we're talking about it.
It is true. And also, yeah, it's a way, it's a controversy starter. And also, like,
it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen anybody do.
If people want to go listen to it, at least he's like, if somebody listens to the regular album, then they go click one of the other ones. He got like two listens now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And also, like, in a world of TikTok, he's hoping that people just remix his shit or like, use certain part. I don't know. Very weird.
Yeah. But it's just insane. What's really good too is if you listen to the a cappella album, that's just the vocals. If you start the albums straight from the beginning, I think you've got a solid, like, I think it's like 48 seconds of silence.
What?
Like they didn't edit it. So beat. It would, yeah, it had like an instrumental intro. And so instead of just like cutting that, so it starts like a smooth, like give it like a second or two into the vocals, you get like a hot, like 48 seconds of pure silence. And then him just like doing ad libs, like grunting.
I think he's just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks.
It's right? Insane. I've never seen an artist do anything like it. He's a pioneer. I hope this is not a trend that starts.
And he named a fucking album Mac and Cheese.
Mac and Cheese 5, which that makes me assume that there is a Mac and Cheese 2, Mac and Cheese 3, Mac and Cheese 4.
There can't be.
Boy. And you know what? He's already released the Mac and Cheese 5 Deluxe. So let's go ahead and say there's six versions of Mac and Cheese 5.
The problem
and
is
the album art. The album art for Mac and Cheese 5 Deluxe is one of the most insane things I've ever seen.
What is it? Oh God, I gotta see it. Describe it to me.
It's like, you know those shitty emojis they made us do on like Snapchat back in the day?
Yeah. It's like getting a bunch of fucking mac and cheese. It's a deluxe four cheese home style Kraft mac and cheese.
It's like Montana. It's like his bit emoji. In front of like almost like the Looney Tunes logo with like the red circle.
This looks like this looks like Fiverr shit. This looks like,
yeah, and there's cheese melting from the ceiling.
Fuck.
It's oh, now we're gonna get sued because you played his music.
I didn't mean to play it. Yeah, this is like some Fiverr when you ask for like a logo and you pay somebody $20. Like that's what that looks like. But maybe the thing that I don't get is like his normal album cover is him with like some kind of
demonic. It's a cool album cover.
Yeah, it's like him with some like demonic star on his face, and I'm like, no. Okay, he wants to be taken serious, and then he fucking drops an album called Mac and Cheese 5, and you go, is this like a joke album? And then like you go, oh no, it's serious. And then his deluxe is like a fucking joke. Maybe it's supposed to look box of fucking mac and cheese.
Are you ready for the cherry on top?
Yeah,
with this deluxe version.
Yeah,
so mac and 40 cheese,
songs.
Hold on, Mac and Cheese 5, the original, not the deluxe, 21 songs, 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Mac and Cheese 5 Deluxe, 22 songs, 1 hour and 4 minutes.
Oh my God, he's like trolling.
The deluxe has one more 4 minute song on it.
He's trolling. That's what's happening.
And it's a remix of a song that's already on the album.
I think French Montana figured out that if he doesn't do something like this, his album drops and nobody pays attention. Like,
no one listens to
him. He doesn't get good reviews. He doesn't get bad reviews. People just don't pay attention because I don't want to be mean, but that's like kind of the artist he is. Like, he's not.
He's a feature artist.
There's. Yeah, exactly. It's like you put him in a song to be like, okay, we need a filler. But like, he has an unforgettable song where it's like unforgettable, but like other than that, I don't even know his lyrics in that. Like I know the chorus, but
he has an album titled Coke Zoo. Wow, Mac and Cheese 4 the appetizer came out in 2014. So people have been waiting 10 years for Mac and Cheese 5.
Oh shit. Okay, so there are multiple Mac and Cheeses. Okay.
And then he had also had Coke Boys 4.
We have to stop talking about this. I'm not going to give this any more breath. We're moving on.
Mac and Cheese 3, 2012. Oh, my God. Coke Boys 3, 2012.
He just names everything fucking
Cocaine
sequels?
Mafia. Cocaine Mafia. Coke Boys Run New York.
This man has 500 fucking songs released, and I can't name you one
Coke
of them.
Coke Boys 2. Casino Life, Mr. 16.
We should play. Is it an actual French Montana album name, or is it made up?
It's the album name is Casino Life, Mr. 16. And then before that was Mr. 16 Casino Life.
We should play the game. We should play the game. French Montana album or Minecraft server? A 12-year-old named.
Mac and Cheese 2 came out 2010.
I don't care. Stop talking about it. No one's interested in this. We're moving on. You have one more story?
Cocaine Convicts, Gangsta Grills. Cocaine Convicts. The Laundry Man 2. My God. Goon Music 2.0. He's gooning to music.
Okay.
2.0. How many albums has he released? This is insane.
Too many. What's the next fucking song? Goddamn, not song. What's the next
Coke
story?
Wave. Coke Wave. Live from Africa. Hold on. Where are we? He has so many albums, my computer is struggling to scroll through them. So it looks like we're missing Mac and Cheese 1 from at least Spotify.
It's probably a mixtape.
Yeah.
You got another news story, David?
Yeah, I do. I'm just really, I want to listen, I just want to listen to Casino Life, Mr. 16. Which is just crazy because the one before that was Mr. 16, Casino Life.
He flipped. God damn it. Did he just flip the name?
Yeah. But are they the same albums? They're not the same album.
This man needs to be stopped.
Wait. They are the same album. What? But one has one more song and is a few minutes longer. This guy's insane.
Move on!
All right. Woman charged $1,010 for a single Subway sandwich. Still waiting for a solution.
What? No, they just add an extra zero. Or four extra zeros.
I don't know, man. I hope it was a good Sammy. Don't buy Subway sandwiches in Columbus, Ohio.
I have nothing to say to that. You really ruined the mood with that French Montana shit. I don't even want to elaborate.
They got a French baguette. Like a French roll.
French roll was covered in mac and cheese. Anyway, that lady fucking sucks for her. Sorry. I told you I got a ticket one time going in and getting a Subway sandwich in college. So
That hurts.
That's like an $80 Subway sandwich.
Yeah, it sucks.
Fucking horrible. Ruined my day.
Even if like the state was like, you parked in a perfect spot, here's $80, and you still had to eat a Subway sandwich, that still sucks.
I know. Damn, I haven't been to Subway in a while. Was it good? My brother in Christ, you made the sandwich.
Subway is not good, unfortunately. It's expensive, too.
It's all getting expensive.
You've been seeing this shit with Wendy's?
Wendy's is really expensive. What's up? I saw a thing.
They're changing their pricing to, like, supply and demand.
What?
So it's like if nobody's buying Baconators, the Baconator's cheaper. But you don't know until you're buying it.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like they're trying to get rid of their fish fillets. So it's like used to be like $10.
It's like
the
stock market.
Yeah, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
There was a Wendy's is kind of a gimmick place too, but like there was a bar that I almost went to. I know how exciting. I didn't go. But I was in New York and I had some friends in there in New York, and they're like, there's this cool bar, and the concept was that like basically drinks that people were not buying were really cheap, and drinks that people wanted were really expensive. Like you said, this
You got to move it.
And then every like half an hour there would be a stock market crash. And all the drinks would be like really cheap, and everybody would run up and try to buy drinks and stuff like that. And
like screaming and like slamming money down.
Yeah, I guess so. And I was like, that sounds like a really fun idea, but they ended up closing. I don't think that model works. I bet Wendy's is doing exactly what French Montana is doing, where it's like people forgot about Wendy's. Yeah. I like Wendy's, but like people probably forgot about them. And then there's like, how do we get more press? Okay, let's just do this
lower
thing for like
prices.
A month.
Jesus, man.
I know.
Like, there's no reason any fast food should be that expensive.
I agree. Anyway. Okay.
I got one more that we briefly talked about individually outside of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Just because I know how much you love the guy. Warner Herzog watched 30 minutes of Barbie and asked, could it be that the world of Barbie is sheer hell?
I saw that.
Now, okay, do you remember... Memorize the quote. Could it be that the world of Barbie is sheer hell? Now do the do your impression.
Could it be that the world of Barbie is sheer hell?
It's like we got him here on the podcast.
I do pretty good Werner.
Yeah, you do like your Werner.
Pretty good Werner.
Oh my god, yeah. I can't believe like him sitting in Barbie watching it. It's just like, it's such a funny thing to me.
It kind of makes me sad he didn't appreciate the movie, you know? You'd think he would like it.
I mean, maybe it's a commentary. I mean, the world of Barbie is extremely obnoxious. It's like, that's its gimmick. Oh, yeah. It's like, everyone's just like, not normal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, have you seen that man? That man is like, put the rock back down. I'm living under here. Like, he reminds me just like a worm that like stays in the dark. Yeah. Like, I don't think that was going to meld with him. But I also thought it was funny that like, I heard Chris Nolan went to the theaters to go see Skinamarink. And I was like, that's hilarious to me.
Well, you know, Christopher Nolan is a massive Fast and Furious fan.
I know. I saw the interview. That's fucking great.
That guy rules. I mean, I don't know how anybody can't love Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. He's a man of the people.
Makes great movies and just seems like a cool dude.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't look down on shit movies either. You know?
No, he understands, like he appreciates what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, if I don't like it when people are such snobs and they can't enjoy like the different medium. That's like, of course, not every movie is out here to win awards and be the most amazing thing ever. Like,
well, there's
everything
also
has its purpose.
There's also something to be said about like, there's movies that are like bad movies that were made poorly, but like Fast and the Furious are not.
It is what it is.
They're not poorly made movies. Like, it takes a lot of effort to like. He makes movies, so he's like, I understand what it takes to probably make Fast and the Furious, and like, this is a cinematic feat. Yeah, it's not a dramatic, like thoughtful piece, but like just the action and everything alone is just like, this is really impressive that you guys pulled this off, and you know, all the effort that you put into it. So I get it.
My favorite thing is that since people now know that he loves the Fast and the Furious, people are like, please, please, please get him to direct the finale.
He will never.
But could you imagine how sick that would be?
Yeah, that would be really cool. But I wouldn't ask him to taint his filmography with that. Not that it would be bad.
What if it came out as a masterpiece, though?
But they don't really matter. It's just not. I mean, hey, to each their own. Maybe he will. It's like when Tarantino was going to do a Star Trek movie, and I'm just like, don't do it. Please don't do it.
I mean, imagine Hans Zimmer doing the score of the finale of the Fast and the Furious.
That'd be sick.
I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious since Tokyo Drift, though, so I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Me neither. I'm not. I've watched a couple of them, but not all of them, so I don't know.
I'm not up to par on my F and F.
Yeah. I heard the last one wasn't good, but
happens. Really?
Happens.
It's because I got that bozo Jason Momoa.
I knew you were going to say that you hate Jason Momoa. He seems like a nice
coward.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a coward.
Okay. Anyway, let's get into these
Fight me, Jason. Come at me. Find me, Aquaman.
I'll be in the ocean. Come find me.
I'll fight you at the beach.
Well, let's get into these stories that we got for you today. So, David, I'm going to be talking about – I was talking about the back rooms the other day with Meg, and we were talking about –
Who?
Like, what's, I didn't say – you don't know her. She goes to a different school.
Yeah, I haven't met her. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a girl who is also happens to be my friend. But she's like, I don't know what the back rooms are. And I was like, oh, and I was explaining it. And then we watched this like short film.
Oh,
and
big mistake, Megan. Buckle up, honey.
Made her watch a 12-minute
be here a while.
Short film. But I was just thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? There's like a kind of another congruent brother-sister lore to the back rooms. And that is the SCPs. Do you know about the SCPs?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I cannot say yes or no.
So the SCPs are basically anomalies or creatures or inanimate objects, and they all have some kind of paranormal effects to them. And they're kept by this government agency. Actually, let me just read this.
They're living things, right? Like,
well, let me read this to you. So it says, the SCP, Special Containment Procedures Foundation, is an extremely diverse and well-funded paranormal organization dedicated to the apprehension and containment of anomalies ranging from creatures to objects, locations, events, and phenomena, known dubbed as SCPs, and is led by the O5 Council. The organization is overall dedicated to understanding anomalies occurrences and permanently incarcerating them so that they are kept away from humanity, whether it is for the SCP's safety or for society's safety. So,
okay, I'm more confused now.
And then it says, despite certainly having good intentions, the Foundation has frequently committed several morally questionable or downright villainous acts throughout the mythos in order to accomplish their goals. The Foundation captures and contains all abnormal occurrences, whether they are threatening or not. Every SCP is experimented upon and tests are conducted on them on a daily basis. So, one of the ones I saw was... it's an SCP that's a telephone that you have to – that makes – if you're in its presence, it makes you refer to yourself in the third person.
Okay.
That's like a really weird one. And I'm going to get into some – today I'm going to cover five of them. Or is it four or five of them? I don't know. But I chose kind of malicious ones. But there are some that literally are just another one I saw, they were gummy worms. That move, they move about in like clusters, but they're not actually made of gummy or
a gummy worm king.
Yeah.
It's like a rat. It's like a rat king, but gummy worms.
Kind of. Yeah, exactly. And those aren't like, those aren't negative SCPs. They just happen to be things that have paranormal qualities to them.
Okay.
So
real quick, check this out real quick. Watch this.
Whoa, what the fuck?
So they have updated, what is this called? iChat?
FaceTime.
FaceTime? They've updated FaceTime that if, it's only happening for me, I guess.
Yeah.
I gave a thumbs up and then the camera did like a big bubble with a thumbs up. It's doing it right now. And I did the heart thing with my hands and then my head turned into a bunch of hearts.
Can you flip me off?
Nothing. What if I do, like, the rock out?
What else could you do? The wave.
What if I, pretend to laugh?
Get naked.
Okay.
Oh, there's the eggplant. It's a smaller than usual eggplant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
What are you going to do?
God.
What about thumbs down?
Oh!
Yeah, thumbs down works. Thumbs down works.
Hell yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to think of like all the reactions you can do to text.
Do this. Make a shocked face.
No?
No.
Because I'm thinking we got the ha-ha, we got the exclamation mark, thumbs up, heart, thumbs down.
Question
mark. Boy, I'm sure.
Question mark. Scratch your chin. I meant like more of a pondering way, not like an itchy. Yeah, there we go. Nothing. Anyway, I got to cover these fucking SCPs before David's. He's loving talking about mac and cheese, Fast and the Furious, and a bit emojis today.
I'm on one. I'm getting delirious.
So the first SCP we're going to talk about is SCP-6096, also known as The Guest. So, like I said, this is a giant containment center where it's like concrete walls. I believe it to be underground, giant iron steel doors, and there's like, you know, plexi windows where you can observe the SCPs. And I think there's a computer game called like SCP Containment. And it's kind of like you walk through the facility and you could open up different doors, and there's different SCPs in there, and you have to figure out like what they do. Some of them kill you if you like don't know how to defeat them or contain them, and some of them are just like, there's one I watched where some guy ate a piece of candy and it slowly like killed him, and like you're not supposed to eat the candy, and that SCP was like, it just, if you eat it, it slowly kills you from the inside or something, shit like that. I forget, but
okay. Poison.
So, SCP. Basically. So, the guest is a mysterious entity with mind control abilities powerful enough to control anyone who sees it and make them physically unable to harm it. So, the guest's unknown appearance, they don't know what it looks like because it's concealed beneath a cotton bed sheet, which is draped over the top like a ghost costume. So, it walks around like a child in an old 1950s ghost costume. And nobody has ever seen under the guest bed sheet, as its influence prevents anyone in the vicinity from removing the sheet. So just being in its vicinity, it automatically controls your mind and it makes you do stuff without actually having to communicate with you. It's like telepathy. Okay. So the guest is usually docile, but at certain intervals, it becomes fixated on one person randomly selected from the population of Earth and will begin walking towards the target. A little It Follows. Anyone who sees the guest during this period will immediately become aware of the target's name and location, feeling compelled to help the guest find and restrain the target. So if you walk by the guest while it's on its mission to get this person, you will be recruited in its endeavor to find this person and harm them. So it slowly accumulates more and more people. And once the guest reaches the victim, the followers of the guest are acquired in its travels, constrain the victim, as the guest will trap them under its sheet and perform an unknown action on them. It says the victim will struggle with 6096 for 20 to 40 minutes, but will ultimately vanish entirely and presumably die. According to Foundation documents, the cries of distress emitted by these victims suggest that the process is extremely painful.
Okay.
So that's the guest. So that's one of the SCPs that this organization has in its cells below the Earth. I don't know where they are, actually.
Arf.
So the next one I have is the crowd. So the crowd, or SCP-428, is, in appearance, a huddled crowd of about 14 people, 14 smiling, dead-eyed human beings, actually, which travel in a pack while emitting a low audible mumble amongst themselves. Upon further inspection, the biological internals organs, bones, muscles had been removed from each individual and replaced with an unidentified material that attaches to a central amorphous mass in the middle of the crowd via lengths of flesh similar to umbilical cords. So they walk around in a huddle, and there's this like blob or whatever in the middle of them, and they're all connected to the blob through umbilical cords that fill their body with this weird liquid that they don't have bones and organs. They're just like almost like that that bug that goes into like the what's it called, the praying mantis, when you step on it and that parasite crawls out.
I think it's called a horse worm.
Oh my god, they're fucking disturbing, man.
Are you talking about I've never stepped on a praying mantis, but are you talking about when I've seen videos where people
crawls
like dip
out of its
their
ass.
Butts.
Yeah.
They dip their butts in water and it suffocates and it tries to get out.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that. Like, people have stepped on cockroaches or different bugs, and like there's something inside of it that's like just crawling out. It's awful. But
yep.
Like I said, with the same with the guest, the crowd is usually docile, but has been known to become violent if a person is to get too close. Once a victim has stepped in the vicinity of the crowd, members of the crowd have been known to reach out and attempt to grab and pull the victim into the middle of the crowd. After contact is made, for more than 10 seconds, the person will become a new member of the crowd as one of its tendrils inserts itself into the victim's body, replacing their innards with an unidentifiable fluid and wiping their mind clear.
So I gotta say, if a tentacle is going inside of your body and then going directly into your innards, I think we all know where that tentacle is going.
The path of least resistance.
Japan would love this crowd.
This crowd. You better watch out. There's a lot of people in Japan. I wouldn't be surprised if you bumped into a crowd there. You know what I mean?
They love their tentacles.
They love being shoulder to shoulder on that subway. I've seen how packed those subways are. That would be the perfect place to get you. So a lot of these are kind of like the anomalies within the back rooms. You know what I mean? They're kind of just like creatures that, but instead of roaming the back rooms, they're self-contained. And a lot of these, you can like go online and a lot of these anomalies are actually written about in a very like, I kind of find it to be slightly annoying, but like, a scientific way where they're trying to be like really over the top, like scientific, and it makes it almost impossible to read because they're trying to like jam all of this like jargon in there to make themselves sound like scientists. Because this started off on 4chan. Like it started off
as most things do.
Yeah. In 2007, it started off with a post, somebody being like, oh, SCP, I'm a scientist. I work at this SCP factory or whatever containment center. And he writes as if he's a scientist doing research, and it seems like everybody in their mom has tried to make more SCPs. But the problem is the people who are writing these SCPs, I don't want to be mean, but they're not good writers. So like they're very they're like super convoluted, and some of them don't make sense. Some of them are really good because multiple people can make these things. So some of them I'm like, this is great. And other ones I'm like, this is the fucking dumbest thing. I don't know what you're saying. You're trying to sound like really smart. And I'm like, confused. I cannot understand this.
Therefore.
Exactly. So, this next one I have, maybe my favorite. Self-replicating cake, aka SCP-871. So, they obviously are given numbers because they're like prisoners. Or, yes. I should say, experiments. So, self-replicating cake, or SCP-871, is a normal chocolate cake which sits on the counter. The kicker here is that the cake is said to replicate every 24 hours. This means that while in containment at the SCP facility, the armed guards bring a Class D personnel down to the self-replicating cake every day and watch as the person eats the entire cake within a one-hour time period. Once the person is done eating the entire cake, the armed guard sweeps the room for any hidden cake the person might have stowed away for not being able to eat it. And once it's officially cleared, they escort the person back and bring a new victim down in 24 hours once the cake replicates in order to eat the cake. So that might sound like, oh, we just got free cake. But here's the thing. It's actually very dangerous because the dangers in the SCP lie in its replicating abilities, because it is said that the cake duplicates whatever is left behind. So if there is no cake at all at the end of the 24 hours, it makes a new cake. But if there's one cake left behind untouched, it will create two cakes. And if there's, so that would be like, there's three cakes. So if it, then there's three cakes left behind at the end of 24 hours, it'll make six cakes. If there, and if nobody touches,
sounds like the people who mod Skyrim for cheese wheels.
I don't know what the fuck that means. But sure. But here's the thing. They say you cannot destroy the cake by any other means than eating it, and you or it will duplicate instantly, and you cannot have any non-human consume the cake, or it will replicate instantly. So like, try to feed it to like a pig or something. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It'll just replicate. And it is estimated, here's the scary part. It is estimated that an uncontrolled outbreak originating with a single instance would render the Earth uninhabitable within 80 days. I don't think that's 100% true. Like, I don't know how the replication process works. I don't think it's like...
Well, if it doubles every time, I mean, one becomes two, two becomes four becomes eight becomes 19, 16. Like,
yeah, but unless I didn't read it properly and the duplication process like ramps it up, I don't see, even if you had like a million cakes, how it would, you know, render the Earth uninhabitable. But I get the idea of like,
but that also getting... that also makes it seem as if someone, that means there was only like a certain amount of time that this thing could have existed for someone to find it and then realize what was going on from its initial like existence. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree. It would have to have been created in a time frame where somebody, one, knew what was happening and didn't let days go by where there's fucking 28 cakes. And then they also decide, cause you can't destroy the cake or whatever. So you'd also have to eat 28 cakes.
Maybe this is how Chuck E. Cheese started, all them birthdays.
You just say things.
What do you mean?
What does that even mean?
Yeah, because they do a lot of birthdays at Chuck E. Cheese. At any given Chuck E. Cheese, at any moment, there's a birthday going on there. Gotta get rid of them birthday cakes.
Okay.
What would be like a better venue to get rid of cakes? Chuck E. Cheese, baby. Charles Entertainment Cheese.
That's right. Maybe they do like something in England where they chase a cake down a hill or something, you know, like they talk about cheese wheels. You got me thinking.
I think that would destroy the cake though.
You're right.
It wouldn't roll very far and destroy and immediately duplicate. That's a big problem.
As we all know, kids don't eat enough though. You got to have like a big old fat guy eating the cake.
Yeah. Office parties.
There we go.
Amazon. There's lots of offices for Amazon.
They're very hard workers. They need to eat. This is great. Africa. Just send it to Africa.
Yeah.
That's insensitive to say now.
That's a good idea.
Is Africa still starving?
I'm sure there are some people. I don't know. There's kids starving in America. Like, goddamn. Isn't it like one in three kids in America are starving?
That shouldn't be happening anywhere. We figured out food, guys. We know how to do food. Everybody should have some food.
Nah, okay, we got millionaires.
I don't even care if I get canceled for saying this. I think that everybody should have food.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think you might get canceled for that.
I know this is like a kind of a hot button issue, but I don't think people should starve to death.
Yeah.
Throw me in prison.
Unless
they're Bobble the Clown, which is the next SCP, 993.
That makes sense, because like, who the fuck is Bobble?
Mm-hmm. He's the clown. He's the cake thrower. So Bobble the Clown is a humanoid creature resembling a clown under the Foundation's containment. He is a star and producer of... He's a star and producer of SCP-993, which is a television show that brainwashes children. See, sometimes the SCPs are like a whole thing. Like, a realm or like a television show, or sometimes they're like a person or a cake. So it could be numerous things. So he's a part of SCP-993. So actually, I kind of want to see SCP-993. I kind of want to see
SB3.
SCP.
SCP-3.
Any broadcasts of SCP-993 are to be intercepted as detailed in Protocol Upsilon Beta 3 and blocked with public viewing. This is what I'm talking about. Like, it's, they put too much fucking bullshit in here where it's like, it's not even fun to read. All intercept broadcasts are to be recorded and stored for future viewing. Any subjects used to view SCP-993 must be under the age of 10 and are to be dosed with a Class A amnesiac. Anyway, whatever. Fuck it. They put too much shit.
So, too much shit in here.
Too much shit in here. So, like many monster clowns, Bobble the Clown is a cruel psychopath, obsessed, and sadistic character hiding behind a cheerful and colorful facade. Through his TV show, Bobble performs various illegal and immoral acts, including torture, murder, arson, cannibalism, and stalking. He takes delight in all of these acts and happily shares information to his audience, who we just found out are under 10 years old, on how to perform these acts effectively, such as using mosquito coils to set buildings on fire, or how to inflict painful yet non-lethal wounds.
Bobble's, those are the best wounds, guy, in my opinion.
So Bobble loves nothing more than to twist and manipulate the minds of children into doing evil deeds, having taken many forms for millennia to accomplish this task. When deprived of an audience, Bobble quickly loses his happy-go-lucky mask and becomes increasingly sadistic and vindictive, using his supernatural abilities to stalk and spy on his enemies to find their weaknesses, taunting them for a while before finally murdering them. Okay.
I'm going to say Bobble's a little different from the other ones.
I'm a little different. Yeah, he's a little bit more, like, these other ones are a lot more, like, mysterious in, like, their nature.
Dare I say, Bobble kind of reminds me of a guy we know as the Joker, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, but Bobble is one note. The Joker's pretty complex. You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand, my lady. But, yeah, a lot of these other ones are kind of like, it's in their nature. They're not acting maliciously. This is just how they survive. You know what I mean? Like, they know no other way. While Bobble, I mean, you could argue that it's in his nature as well, but it seems like he goes out of his way.
It's his choice.
Exactly.
He wants to do it.
Is this what they mean by his body, his choice?
I don't have a comment.
Is this about his adult circumcision?
Oh, okay. Now I see where you're going with that.
I don't know. Well, you know how, like, I heard some guy being like, women, you know, women and abortion, like, her body, her choice. But he also thinks
that
you're
making
men...
a joke. I thought you're making an abortion joke, not a circumcision joke. Now it's funny.
Well,
I get it now.
Well, it's interesting because, like, the people bring that up and they're like, oh, boys should have a choice in getting circumcised. And I was like, I don't even want to even comment. I don't care. Like, what the fuck?
I know, like, some people that are very diehard about that topic.
Really? I don't care at all.
Yeah,
I'm like,
a shit. I will
if
say
you're gonna
though,
do
if,
it, just do it when I'm a fucking baby, so I don't remember anything, man.
Exactly. If you come up to a 14, 15 year old boy and go, "All right, you want circumcision?" They're all gonna say, "No, don't."
They're gonna
cut
say,
me.
"Coach Stokes, you can't ask us that."
Coach,
you wanna,
this is PE.
You want a circumcision? Yeah, I don't. It's fucking wild. I'm like, I don't want to be. If I'm old enough to make that decision, I'm terrified already.
Yeah, like, no, there's no way I'm going to say yes to it if I'm cognizant.
If you're going to snip the tip of my dick off, I want you to catch me off guard. That's my whole thing.
You better make sure I can't talk.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the last one, that we have here. And the one that started it all off is SCP-173, the statue. So, like I said, this was this post on 4chan was made back in 2007. For those of you who don't know, 4chan started off as like an anonymous site where people can just post threads of like something. Like you just post.
There are lots of topics.
Yeah, and then like a lot of it turned into like either weird sexual stuff or just like blatant racism or like
there's one specific domestic terrorism. Yeah, there's one specific page that, to be fair, it's called Random. And which means it's like kind of just whatever you want to talk about, and it turned into a complete cesspool. I feel like we could do an episode about 4chan.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's where like Pepe the Frog turned into like a right wing icon.
Yeah, because Pepe the Frog was like a comic book series.
Oh, if you want to watch a great documentary, watch Feels Good.
Called?
Feels Good, bro.
Feels Good, man.
Feels Good, man.
We watched that and we felt very sad at the end of it for the original artist who made the comics. See, the comics looked hilarious. They looked
fun. Yeah, it's not a downer though. If you watch it, you won't be sad. You'll be like, this is really interesting. And he's fine.
I know, but I still felt bad. It's like, imagine making something you love and then people turn into like an image of hate.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I drew this really fun symbol and I found out what they were doing cute, with it the 1940s. All of a sudden, I drew the symbol, and it gets really popular in Germany. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Well, you know, the swastika was a very like heavily used logo.
India,
in China,
China, ancient Mesopotamia. It's a symbol. Like I brought this up the other day because we were talking about symbols and stuff, and I was like,
it's aesthetically pleasing. I'll say it.
Okay, you thought I was being controversial about an abortion joke. You're like,
no,
I'm
obviously something changed the image of the logo forever, and it'll never come back.
I'm gonna say it. I think Hugo Boss's uniforms were pretty sharp.
I'm just saying, like it. You know what I mean? It's a very simple and like.
Well, that's what I mean. You could draw lines like enough times, and you're gonna get a symbol. And there's only so many symbols that aren't convoluted. So it's like, sure, yeah. And I think I saw a thing where it like showed up like 10 to 12 different times throughout history on like in different cultures that didn't
like long before.
Yeah, exactly. So just like I can't grow that fucking Michael Jordan mustache anymore.
Only Michael can do it.
Only Michael can grow the Hitler stash. Google it. Michael Jordan Hitler stash. Anyway, so
it was a thing. God damn it.
It was. Haynes approved it with their bacon neck. So, the statue, it says, oh, like I said, yeah, so this was posted on there in the perspective of somebody that works at the SCP Foundation. And it says, from the files of Site 19, SS Walrus, this is the guy's username.
Walrus.
Item number SCP-173. Special containment procedures, : item SCP-173 is to be kept in a locked container at all times. When personnel must enter SCP-173's container, no fewer than three may enter at any time, and with the door and the door is to be relocked behind them. At all times, two persons must be looking at SCP-173 until all personnel have vacated and relocked the container. Description: move to Site 19, 1993. Little is known about item SCM-173's origin. I don't know why they changed the name. It is constructed from concrete and rebar and was once painted with Krylon brand spray paint. 173 is animated and malevolent. If given the chance, it will kill anyone within its line of sight. Its weakness, however, is that it does not move while being watched. Despite this paralysis, it is still highly
Doctor Who.
So here's the thing. The Doctor Who thing got brought up. It's in an episode called Blink, where these crying angels they're statues of angels, and they can only move if you don't look at them. But here's the thing. This was written before that episode. That's what
you sure about that?
This was posted in 2007. Here, let me see.
Are you sure about that?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who's old as fuck, though. That's oldest television show in the world.
Yeah, but that monster's new.
Is it?
Oh, shit.
For the record.
Wait.
I'm not a Doctor Who fan whatsoever.
Okay,
it's corny as fuck. I think it's stupid.
It's speculated that it was written before. It probably wasn't. Well, it came out the same year. It came out the same year.
So. Wouldn't that be crazy if the guy that was writing Doctor Who was up on 4chan being like, oh, I'm going to fuck everything up because this is a great idea.
Or if a writer was on 4chan and saw it and was like, that's a good idea for the show. I'm just like, who's going to fucking trace it back to this anonymous? They didn't think it was going to be like a big thing. They thought some guy just wrote some shit and they're like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. But
nah, I'm a Doctor Who hater. I don't know if that's just because I hate the British, but
okay. So, but it's very similar to these crying angels in Doctor Who, because it says, despite this paralysis, it is still highly dangerous, able to cover at least 2 meters in the literal blink of an eye. It typically kills by either snapping the victim's neck from behind or grabbing the victim's throat and strangling him. Whatever animates 173 does not give it much force with which to break things. As seen above, a large room with unbarred windows is fully capable of containing it. Wait. Oh, it can't break windows and shit like that, apparently. Okay, that's kind of weird. Its grip, however, is unbreakable. So when it is not moving, the statue is a hard and strong as concrete. So I get that. That's like in Doctor Who. In that episode, the angel like wraps an arm around the guy's neck, and you can't get out of that hold once it has you. So while
so what
left
if you
alone,
blink?
Well, that's why multiple people have to be staring at it.
Okay, because I'm assuming that was like a part of the episode that was like, oh, he's got me by the neck. Everybody has to look at him, or I die.
Well,
right?
The episode's called Blink. Yeah, so
I
like
just
the
cut
whole,
my eyelids off.
The whole thing is like something.
Hold it against you for the rest of my life.
Yeah, they have to like try to get out of it, and then like the fucking angel grabs the guy, and the guy's like, "I'm fucked. Like you can leave. Like I, you know, they're gonna kill me." So like the guy like turns around and leaves, and the thing kills it. Whatever, I don't know. Something like that. I didn't watch it. I just saw the clip. But I don't know the context of it. So while left alone in its room, one can hear a stone on stone scraping from within that is believed to be the sound of 173 moving about. The reddish brown substance on the floor is a combination of feces and blood.
That sounds like me when I was 24.
Sounds like you now, bitch. We don't know nor wish to find out where it comes from or how it arrives, but SCP-173's container will slowly fill with these substances. In order to ensure that bacterial growth within does not begin to damage the building it is contained in, they must maintain some levels of sanitation, and the enclosure must be cleaned on a biweekly basis. So every 2 weeks they have to go in with multiple people and clean it. So as long as two people are staring at it at the same time and one person is cleaning, that they can clean it. And just to end this off, it says SCP-173, in order from being prevented from escaping, must be kept in a locked container at all times. When personnel enters SCP container, I think I just said this. Yeah, three people must stare at, yeah, I already wrote this. At all times, yep. And then the third person cleans the container, yeah. And then they have to leave and relock it. So that was the first one that started off the SCP craze, I guess. Or like the idea.
2007, huh?
Yeah, that this organization exists holding these entities or creatures or whatever.
I'm just surprised. I really thought that Doctor Who thing was older than 2007.
Well, Doctor Who, I think, started in like the 60s or 70s. But then it took like a 25-year break.
It might be older than that, man. Let me see. I know it's old as fuck.
It can't be older than that. 1963. Oh, yeah. But I think it took like a shit ton of time off.
Probably, because the show sucks. What, they're going to fucking fly around in a goddamn phone booth? Cool.
It's not a phone booth. It's called TARDIS. which is offensive. You can't say that. You can't fucking say that.
I thought his name was Tennis.
Who?
I thought its name was Tennis. Like T-E-N-N-I-S.
What the fuck? I'm sorry. I'm looking at everybody who's been Doctor Who. This is...
Yo, before we start this episode, because we didn't record last week, and usually we update people when we miss a week, and we didn't last week, and we were joking that no one acknowledged the fact that we missed a week because no one fucking cares. Someone just commented on one of our Instagram posts, "Are y'all dead?"
Okay, we got one.
So shout out Adventures with Kev. No, we're not dead, buddy. Well, you'll be hearing this tomorrow morning.
Are y'all dead?
I love that. So yeah, Adventures with Kev.
We got sucked into the tennis.
We got sucked into the tennis, but we're just reading your comment as you commented it right now.
Hell yeah, in action, live. Anyway,
the problem was we were flying our tennis and the steering wheel came off.
fell out the window.
Yeah. All right, is it my turn?
Yeah, I'm done with my SCPs. Maybe I'll cover more in the future. I don't know.
All right. Well, I didn't write this part, but I'm just gonna say I wrote this story a while ago, not fresh on the mind, so might be a little. I don't even know if people. I spelt check nothing. All right, Delvin. Today we got a little list story with an overarching idea. So buckle in, baby. Before we get into the big idea, we first have to talk about some of
What's the big idea?
You don't get to know it yet, goddammit. Because first, we have to talk about some of the biggest mysteries we have ever discovered on Earth. So that brings us to our first topic.
Who took the pie off the windshield?
Drizzy.
I mean the windowsill.
It was Drizzy.
It was Drizzy. I said windshield.
It was old helicopter dick himself. So we're going to talk. Everybody has to rethink that meme of him floating to the pie because now he's helicoptering to the pie.
Yeah.
So our first topic is out-of-place artifacts. Also known as Oparts.
What?
You know about Oparts?
Nope. Oh, I know about O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Meow.
Meow. So what is an out-of-place artifact? Well, the term was created to describe dozens of prehistoric objects that have been found in various places around the world that show a level of technological advancement that does not match the timeline in which it originates from.
Oh, like a motherfucker in a picture with a cell phone from like the 1940s?
Well, in my next paragraph, whatever, I said, in other words, it would be like if we found a cell phone embedded in rock buried deep, aging to be 200,000 years old.
Whoa, that would be cool.
It would be, which there was one that circulated, but that thing was fucking fake.
Is that how they found the, it was crazy. I had to explain all of this to the security guards at the Louvre when they found the Mona Lisa in my backpack.
Yeah, it just spawned there.
Sir, I didn't put this in here. This is an out-of-place artifact.
You ever seen that that like meme that's like, it's like the day the last person that knew you dies, you're forgotten?
Oh, die twice. Once when you actually die, and the other time is when somebody says your name for the very last time.
Yeah, and then someone like replied to that, being like, "Not after I eat the Mona Lisa."
Yeah, I saw that. Honestly, that would be sick.
No one would ever forget your name.
No, I want to commit an atrocity.
You got to. I'm excited for when I get to be like 95, and I gotta plan my atrocity to be remembered forever.
Some guy blew himself. Like, imagine if I just, like, I didn't harm anybody, but I just blew myself up in, like, a museum. So, like, there's parts of me all over all of the beautiful art.
You apply for a job as, like, the night the night watch at a museum and detonate yourself.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. Like if you like you know cool if you fun. Had like a bomb inside your stomach, like but like not like a big bomb, just like a big enough bomb to like just blow you.
Not like
in
a
half.
Cluster bomb or anything like that. Just, you know.
Not like a shit ton of C4 in my ass or anything like
not
that.
Not like a big old thing of napalm. Nothing like that.
Anyway.
So many scientists try to explain them by using natural phenomena. Which is a smart way of saying we have no idea, while others simply say it's possible that prehistoric civilizations may have been much more advanced and smarter than we like to admit. So let's take a look at some of these oparts. An article I read had...
They're talking about like a great reset type shit, right?
Oh,
like we had flying cars and then all of a sudden like something... But like where'd they go? You know?
We'll get into that. All right. So let's start this off with some 2,000-year-old batteries.
What
the fuck you doing over there?
I'm yawning, man. I'm yawning.
So yeah, clay jars with asphalt stoppers and iron rods made 2,000 years ago were found by a German archaeologist, Wilhelm Koing. Just outside of Baghdad, Iraq. These jars have been proven to have the ability to generate more than a volt of electricity, giving the name of being a battery of some sort. The batteries have always attracted interest as curious. It's been a while since I wrote this. They've attracted interest and curiosity since they are a one-off. No one has ever found anything quite like these, like ever. They are odd things. They are one of life's enigmas. Oh, I forgot to type in the quotations. They are odd things.
Oh my god.
They are one of life's enigmas, said Dr. Paul Craddock. That's a last name. An expert at the British Museum. So, yeah, what's up?
So, do you think that this is like a time traveler who like knew how to make a battery?
We're gonna get into it.
Then I don't know what to fucking talk to you about, okay?
Actually, you know what? I didn't talk about time travelers.
I don't know.
But I mean, we can save it for the end.
Okay, keep going. Talk about batteries. Right. They didn't even fucking work. All they did was emit a little jolt of electricity. Probably.
It was just
probably,
zapping nipples.
Yeah, but they probably some guy in a cave shocking his nuts.
It's just fetish shit, goddammit.
He had an electric eel in his ass.
If you like batteries, you're going to love a giant Egyptian light bulb. Now we...
Do you think that... Now, me and that guy have a lot in common. I bury my batteries near the river as well.
Yeah, I throw my car batteries in the ocean.
Yeah.
Now, we all know light bulbs are not the most resilient thing in the world. So obviously we didn't find a giant light bulb intact, but we did find underneath the temple of Hathor at Dendera, Egypt, we found a engraved wall that depicts figures standing around a large light bulb like object. That's basically as far as it goes. Like there's a giant like hieroglyph of what looks exactly like a light bulb.
I wish that like some of that shit could actually be explained, because that would be absolutely insane if there was like a civilization that came touchdown during like ancient Egypt. And I don't mean like aliens in the sense of like, oh yeah, aliens that like have flying saucers and stuff like that. But just they came down and they met with these ancient Egyptians, and they gave them some tools, and then like they got in like a beef with the ancient Egyptians, and they're just like, you know what, I don't think we like this planet, let's not come back here. And they're so far away that like they just haven't. They've never came back to Earth, but like they've been
bad
here.
Bad breakup.
Exactly. You can't go back now.
No.
It's That's interesting.
That is something I never thought about. Is like, you know, people like to speculate aliens went to like Egypt and all that shit, but like, why'd they leave? Why haven't they come back?
Exactly.
Scorpion King.
They left because of the rock?
Yeah, Scorpion King.
He's like, do you want to try some of my Terramana? Ha 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 ha. And everyone's like, yeah, we should get the fuck out of here. Get the hell out of here.
All right. So now for most people, when you bring up artifacts, they imagine distant lands outside of the United States. But that's not entirely true. Our great country of heart disease, murder, and colonization has a few secrets buried deep of our own.
Hometown and I'm talking hero.
About, oh, yeah. Hometown hero subs. This is the Great Wall of Texas.
That's
not China.
Oh, you're getting Texas. Political now?
No. It's always been political. So in 1852... in what is now known as Rockwall Co., Texas, which I didn't know that was.
It's a town named after a company?
I guess so. It must have been like a the original.
Yeah, like a industry town.
Yeah. Farmers who were digging up a well stumbled upon what looked like an ancient man-made rock wall. Which is funny that we... They named the place after this, Rockwall.
The Rockwall, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, the Rockwall is estimated to be somewhere between 200,000 to 400,000 years old. Many scientists say that the wall is made by nature, but it is very clear to see that it looks like it's like a man-made thing, not made by nature. Like, it looks like people put...
Stacked.
Yeah, they stacked it, they put... something in between each block to like make it stick, you know, whatever they used.
Yeah.
Dr. John Geisman at the University of Texas in Dallas tested the rocks as part of a History Channel documentary where he found that they were all magnetized the same way, which suggests that they were formed where they were by the magnetizing. Like they were pulled to each other and not moved by people putting them together, alluding to the idea that they were in fact natural and not man-made. But I call bullshit.
Yeah, me too.
You know, they're just lying to hide the truth from us. They're doing the big government shadow heads, a solid, not telling us the truth about this wall.
The guy's like, oh, yeah, the fucking rocks all, like, flew and, like, they all, like, kind of, like, they zipped over here.
Oh, man, they zipped.
Made a nice wall because they all stuck together. You're like, no, I don't.
Magnets, like, man.
They did it. They did do that. You're like, what?
Like, you guys know magnets, they zip. They zipped.
Okay, so I didn't really get my ear pierced. It's a magnet on the back of my earlobe. And, yeah. But you would think.
These things just zip.
I had a fake earring growing up.
Yeah.
Did you? You ever have that?
I don't think so.
I got the fucking, there's a magnet you stick on the back of your ear, and then, it was really cool.
Did it look good?
I did it on the gay side, so it looked really good.
I remember one time I had a zit on my earlobe, and there was a photo of me that was posted on, like, MySpace, and, like, someone commented like, oh my God, did you get your ears pierced?
You're like, it's more embarrassing. I have a zit on my earlobe.
I just didn't comment.
Was it the gay side?
I don't know which side that is.
I don't remember either.
And I don't remember which side it was fucking middle
school. Isn't that so funny how they're just like, if you get your ear pierced, if you get one of your ears, I think it's the right side was the gay side. You're like, what's the logic behind this? You're like, I'm
There's
12.
There's no logic.
I'm 12. That's the logic.
Yeah. So, geologist James Shelton and Harvard trainee architect John Lindsay noted elements that seem to be of architectural design, including archways and windows. are seen on the Great Wall. So, like, you got archways and windows. There's no way magnets did this.
What the fuck is he talking about?
How like, what big the fuck is are this, magnets?
How tall is this wall? Work? I was thinking, a little fucking...
I didn't get dimensions.
I was thinking, like, a sheep wall, like, to keep, like a wall that you build around, like no, in I Ireland.
I think it's pretty tall.
Oh, okay. I gotta see this bastard.
Are you Googling it right now, or
you just... I should, huh? Okay. Wait.
I don't know.
Texas...
Yeah, Google it real quick.
Is it more specific than Texas Wall? I know it's going to come up if I type in Texas
Wall. The Great Wall of Texas.
Okay, okay. The Great Wall of China. Okay, Texas.
Texas. Texas.
I know, I see it.
It's Texas.
Okay. Okay.
Like all the photos I saw, there weren't people standing next to it, so I can't really gauge
its size. I have one where they're standing next to it. It looks like it's about 20 feet tall or something. Oh, shit. Maybe more than 20. 50? 50 feet tall? It's weird. Okay, so it's weird. They excavated it. So it's underground, and there's clearly like bricks, and they're all put together, but it's like formed into the earth. So... Actually, this is a little bit more interesting now, huh?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm looking at the photos you're looking at.
Yeah.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. It's very weird.
You scroll down. You see that one that has, like, the windows and stuff? I'm on Google Images.
I don't see a fucking window anywhere.
It's from www.txgenwebcountys.org. Texas Gen Web's country.
I don't
counties.
See any fucking windows.
Mm.
No, I don't see them.
They there. Here's a photo of a heavyset elderly couple wearing Texas shirts doing the horns up.
Hell yeah.
Hook 'em horns at the Great Wall of China. So that's cool.
Good for them.
You'll find that if you type in Great Wall of Texas. Google image search.
Yeah, this is weird. Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's man-made. It
has to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I knew how magnets work so I can refute this guy's statement, but I'm just not smart enough.
Yeah, I mean, what are magnets? How do they work?
Baby. But that's the thing. When people tell me shit that, like, I'm like, that's not right. But they'll be like, oh, yeah, like something, 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 Hollywood elites eating babies. And I'm like, no. And they're like, yes. And I'm like, well, I'm not fucking.
Maybe.
I can't prove it, but it just doesn't seem very real to me. And they go, you're being manipulated. You're in Hollywood. I'm like, I'm here. I've never seen anything of that nature. And they go, well, you're not allowed into those. I'm like, yeah, I do think sinister shit happens. I don't think anybody's eating a fucking baby.
If you would have seen things I had seen, you would have left a long time ago like I did.
Is David in a mirror eating baby back ribs?
It just takes one music video with Mariah Carey, man, let me tell you.
You did it with Taylor Swift, and Joe Biden's feeding her babies.
Joe Biden was there. It's crazy. He had 8 legs.
He's on the ceiling.
He had, like, very custom-made short shorts for those 8 legs.
How did he fall over so much if he has 8 legs?
That's the thing. He's not used to walking on the 2 because it's
oh, you're
six,
right.
6 legs or 3 legs are going into 1.
He's like,
six on,
here's the
six
thing,
total.
America, I'm used to scurrying. I scurry.
You seen that man ride a bike?
I scurry here. I scurry there. I'm not used to walking upstairs with 2 legs. I'm used to crawling on the ceiling, making a web. Pretty good.
Well, you know, it's Joseph W. Biden.
Hoobastank?
No, the W stands for web, with 2 B's.
His middle name is not W.
And Hoobastank starts with an H.
That's George. George's web, Bush. Anyway, they love Webb so much they named his brother almost after one.
Yeah,
Jeb
the Webb.
Jeb the Webb.
They called him in high school.
Jeb the Webb Bush. That guy could spin a tail, I tell you. He can spin a yarn. I like this new conspiracy. They're all
yeah, that guy was always sticky, you know?
Sticky bastard.
Sticky Jeb the Web. Now, I know a
Rand
wall isn't...
Paul is ugly. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
I know a wall isn't that impressive. Anyone can do that. But the marvel of the wall is that it predates any evidence we have of humans existing entirely.
Oh, whoa, that's kind of fucking weird.
Yeah, but if the wall isn't impressive enough for you, how do you feel about a 1.8 billion-year-old nuclear reactor?
Huh? Nuclear.
Nuclear.
And I like it.
Huh?
I like it. You said, how do I feel about it? I like it.
Yeah, how do you feel about it? You
like I like it.
All right. So in 1972... a French factory imported uranium ore from Oklo in the African Gabon Republic.
Gabon.
It was at this spot that the uranium ore was found that they found what appeared to be a functioning large-scale nuclear reactor that was as old as 1.8 billion years old, as I previously said. And it had been in operation for an estimated 5,000 years.
What were they doing with that energy?
We don't know. So Dr. Glenn T. Seaborg, fucking cool name.
He's almost a cyborg.
Yeah, Dr. Glenn T. Seaborg. He's like a dolphin robot.
The fuck?
Former
He's
head
like a big
of,
bad Beetleborg.
Yeah. Former head of U.S. Animatronic Sea Life. Wait.
What? They're like, yeah, your name's fucked up. We're going to give you the most fucked up job we can think of. What?
No. Former head of the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission. Lame. And Nobel Peace Prize winner, lame, explained why he believed it wasn't a natural phenomenon and that it had to be man-made. For uranium to burn in a reaction, very precise conditions must follow. The water must be extremely pure, so pure that it must be more purified than any natural source of water, which is crazy to think that you can make shit more pure than what it naturally is.
I've already have comments.
Okay, let me continue, though. The material U-235 is necessary for nuclear fusion
to occur.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because nuclear is a different word. It's like the nuclear... The nuclear family is like, that's like a...
Am I saying it wrong?
I think you're saying nuclear.
And it's nuclear?
Nuclear.
Yeah, nuclear.
Yeah. Were you saying that?
That's what I'm saying.
Am nuclear. I being an ass?
I don't know. I've been asked so many times in my life where my accent is from. And I think it completely stems from the fact that I had a speech impediment as a child, so I just say things weird.
Do you? Wait. I don't think you have an accent.
I don't think I do either, but when I lived in L.A. and I worked on sets and stuff, it was like once a month someone would be like, where are you from? And I'd be like, Eugene, Oregon. And they'd be like, are there accents from Eugene, Oregon? I'm like, no. They're like, why do you have an accent? I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know. People have often said I have an accent.
That's funny.
I don't know.
I don't hear it. But yeah. I got ridiculed for saying nuclear for years. And then someone's like, it's nuclear. And they humiliated me in front of a bunch of people. And now I'm trying to do that to other people.
So you're saying nuclear, not nuclear.
Wait, no.
I'm confused.
Okay. The word that means like a fusion, like a radiation, that is
yeah.
Nuclear. That is N-U-C, L-E-A-R.
Yeah.
Nuclear, as in, I'm going to look up the actual definition of nuclear. Nuclear, N-U-C-U-L-A-R. Nuclear is common proscribed pronunciation, of the word nuclear. It is a rough phonetic spelling. Wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're an asshole. Shut the fuck up.
Wait. It is nuclear. What does nuclear mean? Definition. Relating to the nucleus of... Wait, that's nuclear. What? Oh, it spelled it... What the fuck? It changed the spelling. Wait, no. Maybe nuclear is not a word. Nuclear family. Okay, no, it's the same spelling, nuclear family. But you were saying nuclear. Nuclear is not a word.
Just because I say it weird doesn't mean it's not a word.
Fuck you.
Just saying.
Okay, you're right, but you're saying it wrong. If I'm wrong, you're wrong. Everyone's wrong.
Yeah, but who's the one that's making the rules?
You understand what I'm saying.
So what's the problem if I just say it?
I'm trying to protect you from our rabid fans like Kev the Starfish. What's his name? Who's the guy that fucking
Adventurer Kev?
Yeah, you know he asked us. He's like, "Are you guys dead?" And we go, "No." He goes, "Because I'm gonna kill you." for pronouncing that word wrong.
I almost opened this very expensive bottle of champagne I've been saving for the day that you're fucking dead. Getting back to what I was saying, which I feel like I should start this shit over. The water has to be extremely pure, so pure that it must be more purified than any natural water. The material U-235 is necessary for nuclear.
Amen, brother.
Is that good?
Yeah, nuclear.
Nuclear.
No!
Fusion to occur. It is one of the isotopes found naturally in uranium. Several specialists in reactor engineering have said that they believe the uranium in Oklo could not have been rich enough in U-235 for the reaction to take place naturally. So basically, a bunch of people are just like, there's no way this uranium could have been created naturally. It had to have been done by people.
Honestly, he probably did way more research than I did, which was none. But I was going to say, it's very presumptuous for him to think that the setting that all this shit was happening in couldn't have been different enough. He's assuming that he knew exactly what the setting was like at that time in that place.
Oh, no, there's tons of specialists.
I know that's why I'm saying, like, I don't fully write them off because obviously, like I said, they did way more research. But do you think that there's a chance that, like, they maybe miscalculated what the actual environment was like and there was water pure enough to have this, or like there was like a certain isotope that was like readily available in that area and they just didn't account for it? So they just go, there's no way a human had to do it. I'm not saying that they're wrong.
Of course.
I'm just saying, you know. Yeah, I guess that's
science. There's always a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
It happened, what was I saying, 1.8 billion years ago? So, like, yeah.
Yeah, because
the stars could have aligned, for sure.
My question is, what do you use a nuclear reactor for other than making energy, like?
You're making a bomb that wipes the entire planet.
Oh, my God.
1.8 billion years ago.
That would be kind of sick, though.
All right, so this next one is a big one when it comes to the O parts, and that is the 2.8 billion-year-old spheres. So spheres with fine grooves going around the outside of the spheres were found in mines in South Africa. And looking at the spheres, it's clear that these were not like naturally made. They look like they were carved out and made by hand. But like not quite precision machine made.
Are they rock?
We'll get into it. The globes, which have fibrous structure on the inside with a shell around it, are very hard and cannot be scratched even by steel. Said Rolef Marx, a curator of the Museum of Klerksdorp in South Africa. So, according to Michael Kremos's book, Forbidden Archaeology, The Hidden History of the Human Race, Marx says the spheres are traced back to being 2.8 billion years old, long before our caveman ancestors walked the earth. So you should look them up. Look up the,
spheres.
I would just type in O O P A R T spheres.
Out of place artifact.
Spheres.
Okay. 2.8 billion year old spheres found in South Africa. Oh shit, they're like tiny little guys.
Yeah, but there's like a ton of them, and they definitely were not naturally made and not machine made. But yeah,
these are kind of weird looking.
But they said steel couldn't scratch the surface of them, so like who knows what they used to scratch them?
Huh. Interesting.
Uh huh.
Sorry, I'm just reading this article now about them, but
you're getting more information than I looked up, probably.
They're asking if they're naturally formed and stuff like that, but
I can't think of in any sense that nature would have done that.
My only original thought was that they hardened over time, and that's why steel can't scratch them now. But they were softer back then. But still, regardless, that's not the question. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's fine if. You know, they were soft and people carved them. It's weird if it's still weird if it's before cavemen and everything. Like, who carved them? Yeah. Then, you know what I mean?
Before dinosaurs, before cavemen. Like,
what the fuck? What was here?
Uh-huh. What was here? So, Tobin, what's the one thing you're always talking about?
Cheese.
Like, one of your most favorite things in the world?
Cannibalism.
No.
Oh.
No.
No?
No, that's right. Plumbing. You love plumbing.
Ooh, I do know a fact about plumbing.
What is that?
That the word plumbing comes from the Latin word plumbum, which is where they got the atomic symbol for lead, which is PB, plumbum, and that is what plumbing pipes are made out of. They're made out of lead.
Man, I thought you were gonna make like a tomato joke.
And disappointing. Guess why they need plumbers? Because dumbasses try to flush whole tomatoes down the fucking toilet, get them clogged in the hole.
So what if
he
I told
flushes
you
flushes his marinara, guys?
It wasn't even marinara. Don't insult marinara by calling that marinara.
It wasn't even ketchup, dog.
So, what if I told you we had some 150,000-year-old plumbing pipes?
Ooh, Someone's got to get rid of that shit.
Yeah. So, caves near Mount Byongong in China contain pipes leading to a nearby lake. And they were studied by the Beijing Institute of Geology. And in their research, they determined that the pipes had been used 150,000 years ago.
Whoa.
State-ran media Xinhao, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce that, reported that the pipes were analyzed at the local smeltery, which I didn't know that's what you called like a place that smelted like did like metal smelting.
Interesting.
Smeltery. And 8% of the material could not be identified to anything we have on modern Earth.
Whoa. They used it all.
Yeah. and they were found to be extremely radioactive. Aliens. Aliens. Just saying.
You know, we have radioactivity on our planet as well.
I'm just saying, we 8% of the material what did not match anything we know.
Mm. Oh.
And it was extremely radioactive.
My mind went to it. They just used it all to make the pipes. Like somebody dropped like
oh.
You know what I mean? Like there's
the
like
the rarest mineral ever. Yeah. Like, we gotta put these in the pipes.
Yeah, put in the shit pipe.
Yeah. In attempt to find reason for these pipes, scientist Zhang Jiadong said that the iron-rich magma may have risen from deep in the earth, bringing the Ooh. Iron into fissures where it may have solidified into tubes, making these things look like what we call modern pipes. But was that just a man trying to provide some sort of answer to the unexplained? I mean, that seems like a very just like bullshit answer. Like,
too coincidental.
Blame it on magma, huh?
I'm surprised that they wouldn't use like bamboo tubes and stuff like that. Like when you said pipes, I was like, not metal. And you're like, yeah, metal. I was like, you say 150? Did you say 152,000 years ago?
It was 150,000 years ago.
I can't wrap my head around that. Like,
isn't that insane?
It's weird to think that like I couldn't make a metal pipe now, and that you,
like,
they
hear
did.
It, and it's like it's just like numbers when you like just hear it, but when you actually think about it, like
you want to think about this. Jesus and like Julius Caesar were alive 2000 and or he died 2024 years ago, so that means like that's
very
how old it was
time.
Back then. Yeah, if you want to pick, like, think about, like, the Roman Empire, like, that's, like, 2,000 years. Like, 150,000 years ago? Like, what? Like, holy
there's
fuck.
There's a stat later on I drop that will be a good measurement of time. I don't want to say it now, but we'll get into it. So the next one, in 1961, three people were out hunting geodes for a gem shop. Oh, shit. Crazy people. Maybe we
Nerds.
Discredit this one. Kidding. As these geodude hunters were cracking these geodes open, and one of the geologists had discovered a very unexpected item. And this item looked to be a spark plug.
He was at the junkyard.
I mean, everybody knows the name spark plug. But for our listeners who do not know what a spark plug actually is, it is a small device that is found in an internal combustion engine like a car, and it produces a spark of electricity that ignites the air-fuel mixture in the combustion chamber, which makes our motors move and go brr. So, well, based on the geode that the spark plug was found, this would mean that the spark plug came from 500,000 years ago. And if you didn't know, we did not have cars 500,000 years ago. We have only had cars for 138 years.
Damn.
Which is pretty crazy to think about. And that's actually the stat I was just saying, was that you put all these, you know, 500,000 years ago, and you put that in consideration, it's like, oh, we've only had cars for 138 years.
It really makes me sad to know that we've only had drunk driving for 135 years.
Isn't that depressing? And only like 100 of those years they're
fun. What were they doing for fun before that?
Yeah. They're hitting the stick on the big wheel.
Hopefully drunk. Do not drink and drive. I have to say this. Don't
no, no, no. It. God, no. Please, bad. God, no. No, please don't do that. Jesus Christ.
These are jokes you make with your friends, not when you're on a podcast.
Yes.
Don't do it.
So, hold on. Let me pull up my calculator, because I'm not a smart man. Calculate. Okay. Yeah, that's how you spell calculate.
Nuclear.
Double click. Double click. Nuclear.
I love some good dead air. What are you doing with the fucking calculator?
So I was... Which is weird that you would think that this would be like a more known fact. Maybe it is, and I'm just stupid. But America has only been around for 248 years.
Oh, yeah. 1776.
1776. 2024 minus 1776 is 248, which is crazy. Do you think our entire country is under 300 years old?
That's only like three or four generations. How long do people live?
It's getting better, but
it might be so five, like, if people fucking died when they were like 35 back then.
Yeah, but 500,000 years ago.
I can't wrap my head around it. It's like I can't fathom it. It's like when somebody goes you know, you could fit like a million Earths into the sun. I'm like, I can't envision how big that is. It's like too big.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So this is where we face what I'm sure has an official paradox name. But we're at the situation where the geologist who found the spark plug was never named, and the current whereabouts of this ancient spark plug is unknown. But there are X-rays of it and sketches of it. So we're going to call this the Gary paradox. Is this a fake thing or such a secret that all evidence has been wiped from existence? And I'm not sure if that actually qualifies as a paradox, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, it's kind of like, that's a very thin line that we, at least I personally, scoot along doing this podcast. It's like a lot of things. It's like, well, like, this is a thing that people know about, but no one actually has any like solid evidence. But is it because the evidence doesn't exist, or is it because it's been silenced? It's been hushed.
I say 90% is fake, 10% is hushed. You just have to find that 10%, which is hushed.
Exactly. Exactly. A little hush puppy.
Like, SCPs are real.
Exactly. They start on 4chan, but they're real. The cake. Now we hit the end where we discuss what could be happening here, which is what I was alluding at the beginning, where I said that, you know, we got to do the things leading up to the overarching theme, the true story here. And that's when we discuss what is actually happening here with these artifacts, these out-of-place artifacts. And the way I see it, we've got four options. Option A, all of these artifacts are just coincidences that have formed themselves over a long period of time. You know, the Earth has been around for a long time, like, you know, there's endless possibilities of things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And things could just land in weird spots, and things could just form, and people find them, you know, 500 billion years later, and they go, oh, crazy. This looks
just coincidence.
Just like Madonna. Is this Betty Boop?
This Cheeto
Betty Boop
like...
in Iraq?
Gee. Betty Boop in Iraq is cool.
Option B. Option B, that would be aliens. That's it. Not going to go any further. Don't need to. Don't want to.
It's a good vague, all-encompassing word that can mean many things.
It's the answer right there. Option C, could there be anomalies, black holes, or failed experiments that have moved items into other dimensions or time traveling back in time?
Is that what string theory is?
I'm not sure.
Like, parallel dimensions
could be.
All happening.
There's got to be, that is non-original thought. There's got to be a name for it.
Yeah.
I mean, recently, my wife and I watched The Prestige, because she had never seen it before. And it makes me think of Tesla's machine with...
the hats and the cats?
With the hats and the cats.
Yeah.
You know, that situation where it's like, oh, this experiment failed, but little do you know, like 100 yards away, it's just duplicating things and just throwing them out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's not failing. It's just not doing what you want it to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then option D. I'm having a hard time finding the official title for this theory, which I'm pretty sure this is it because I think you said it earlier. But the reset theory. Which I think you said earlier. It's the simple idea that that the society we live in now is not the first or the only age of advanced society who has lived on Earth. Is it possible that these items came from another time of humankind or other advanced civilizations who ultimately went extinct, leaving the Earth empty until the next round of fish crawled out of the mud puddle and evolved into us? Like, could these be things left behind from other advanced societies that we have no, like, history of that managed to erase all, well, not all because we have these things, but, like, you know.
Some things fall through the cracks, you know. Like, they're able to get all the big flying cars out of there, but a spark plug might have just, oops, it fell in the dirt.
It takes one geode.
Yeah.
Takes one geode.
Yeah.
So these O parts are rarely talked about because they are shrouded in so much mystery. And here at Camp Strange, we want to get the ball rolling. So let us know. What do you guys think? What do you think?
What do you think?
What do you think?
I think I like the.
It's also hard because it's like each one is just so uniquely different. So it's kind of you can't really give the same answer for all of them.
I like I like the reset theory. I think that's a fun theory. I don't.
It's a scary idea. But.
Yeah, I don't know how practical it is because I mean, just to clean up, you demolish a house, it leaves behind shit. Like you're demolishing the planet. It would have to be some kind of like. Just want to talk about magnets, something that like sucks like everything up and like, you know, destroys it and then sucks it up and by a big magnetic force and everything gets taken. But like, so there would be a lot more stuff left behind if it was.
But it could decompose. But what if you look into this future where they have, but they're so advanced in recycling and shit that everything they have is ultra, it just decomposes to save the environment. So maybe everything they had decomposed.
But why did one spark plug not?
Because that was an old Cadillac.
Well, if like they make all the spark plugs, like we can't make that out of decomposable material, then there would be more spark plugs. That's the thing where it's like if there was a lot of one thing left behind, I'd be like, okay, that's like that's a little bit more.
It did look like there was a shit ton of those spheres, though.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't know what the hell those were. Maybe those are the original like baseballs. But
yeah, that was an art project.
Yeah.
But still.
There was a shit ton of those.
Or my other theory would be like parallel, like, you know, parallel universes running congruently and something
just slips through.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope.
So that might be a thing. Or these fuckers are lying.
Yeah, they could have faked all of it.
Yeah. Don't make me think this
it's
hard.
It's
kind of
hard to fake the
liar.
Texas wall, though. It's kind of hard to fake the Texas wall. So.
Well, yeah, that's actually really interesting. But like, you know, I would like to hear all the logical explanations, and then I want to hear all the crazy explanations, and be like, which one is most likely? You know what I mean?
What's more fun?
It's true. It is more fun.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I just want to see how long we would have that for. All right. Well, I think that covers all of the stories we got for you today. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love when you stick around. We love telling you these stories. If you guys want to have more information, you go to Camp Strange Podcast on Instagram. Click the link in bio for merch and for any links to listen to this. But you already are listening to this, so you know where to listen to it at. You can rate, review, subscribe if you would like, and share it with a friend if you'd like as well. If you want to send us an email, which we don't check, you can send it to campstrangepodcast@gmail.com. We are not dead yet. Not dead yet. But if you want to kill us, come find me, bitch.
We're getting there.
If you want to come kill us, go to Camp Strange Podcast at Instagram. That's all we got for you today. David, do you have anything to say before we head out?
Oh, yeah. Get ready, guys. Next episode, we're going to be ranking monkeys.
Oh, my God. I said it out loud, and he wants to go on a two-hour ranking of monkeys. Which is not a bad idea, but
we're gonna rank all of them.
It's gonna be good. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and don't forget to stay strange.